Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. This is the conclusion to episode 226. This is part two, Cry Out for Deliverance. Today is Christmas Sunday, December 25th, 2011. Have yourself a Merry Christmas.
I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until three. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Yes, I said my three S's. Smile, star, strong. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. What? I'm doing the podcast. Oh, no. Where was I? Okay. I am coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's Club is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikro Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, you're living in a household of two or more, maybe you're a senior, 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, you can come to Pastor Paul's Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 to register your household for monthly groceries. There's a lot of food here. Don't be shy. What you need to bring is a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verify your household members. And bring extra bags. There's a lot of free bread outside. Okay. You can visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where those of you who don't need food can make a tax-deductible donation to support Pastor Paul's Club. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. All right. Scripture links. Yes. At Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find some scripture links there that Pastor Paul uses within his message. I have gone to a lot of trouble to go find those links for you so you can have a private Bible study on your own. So be sure to check those out. And the month of December. Okay, here's the lineup for the podcast. Four messages starting with In All Things, Consolation, Grower or Growee, Cry Out for Deliverance. And for New Year's, I'm going to give you January's just because I want to. Why is the name of the message? And why are we doing this podcast? Well, it's a lot of fun, and I hope you're getting something out of it. like the meaning of life. I want to end December with just a special little conversation between Danny Rose and Tina Vitale, one of my favorites. Here goes. Danny Rose. My rabbi, Rabbi Pearlstein, used to say, we're all guilty in the eyes of God. Tina Vitale. Do you believe in God? Danny Rose. No, but I'm guilty over it. Danny Rose. It's very important to be guilty. I'm guilty all the time, and I never did anything. For all you guilt-ridden people out there, listen to Pastor Paul's every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. God bless you, and have a great month of December, and keep your gifts under $50.
Do you turn yourself off? And you just, everyone, nobody likes you, so you just sort of walk around. Huh? What'd you say? Yeah. Who do you think's talking and agreeing with you? The devil! You up there in St. Peter, you that are listening to this radio in the mental institutions, cry out to God with a loud voice. You preachers that have run away, and it's the heaviest thing to be preaching. Did you know that? Oh, gee, I would love to be a preacher, and I would get up there, and I would put on a suit and a tie, and I would just spray my hair and have it just have the gray just right in there, and, you know, have be trimmed up nice and just be that preacher, and, oh, everything would be swell. Three out of four preachers only last about 3 years. Why? The people is mean to them. That's why a lot of them quit. A lot of them have health problems, nerve problems. Trying to change people. It won't change. It's got to be a heavenly God that changes them. You can minister and you can, it's as far as it goes. About less than, 0.007% of what you say, they catch on to. Oh, that was a great message. What was it about? Oh, I don't know. Although it is someplace in their subconscious. So now you start to lose confidence in yourself. You become disconnected. You become distant. And you hear yourself talk. It's like you're in a milk bottle. Huh? Hi. Hello there. You're so distant now. Is that me really talking? Am I going crazy? Huh? Hello? Does it sound crazy to you? Well, that's where you're at. You've made yourself crazy. And you start to apologize for your very existence. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm alive. Excuse me. You're all introverted and spooky. Now that can come on and off in people's lives. That can come on and off. And most people snap out of it, some people don't. They go into the office, and this particular day, they feel like they have to apologize for being alive. Oh, I'm sorry. Gee, can't I do nothing right? Then they go home, and the maid consoles them. Oh, that's all right. That's the way people are. Maybe they had a bad day. Did you ever think of that? Oh, well, huh? I don't care. I'm quitting. I'm going to quit tomorrow. You don't know what it is working down there. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. They swear, and they cuss, and they do what? Sure they do. So do you in your head. Sometimes out loud when you get home. No, we don't want to minister those things, do we? Mm-hmm. Isn't that right? We don't want to hear that. Oh, God. Oh, no, don't minister like that. That's too real. You don't want to hear that, see? But God sees it. You know how to get rid of it? Show it. The devil cannot bear the light. And whatever is hidden, it says, will be revealed. So why not go ahead and reveal it right away? And so you start to apologize for being, I'm sorry, I'm alive. I wish I never was born, but I'm here. The Bible compares us to gold. But see, we in ourselves are ugly, gray little pots, clay pots with two little legs on them, are awkward. Tip me over, pour me out, pots. Honey buckets. From the sewer crew there, honey buckets. That's what you feel like. And then it seems like every prophet of doom comes your way. Isn't that right, preacher? When you're at your lowest ebb, every prophet, they come sneaking in, and these prophets of doom, or prophetesses, there's a lot of them. Oh, I mean, there's more of them than there is prophets. They're all over. They'll lay down their dishes and throw their towel over in the corner anytime to prophesy over somebody, especially somebody who's having a hard time. And they sneak up on you, and it's just like a bunch of vultures, and they all want to prophesy over you. Doom is coming your way! You know what I'm talking about, preacher? They can empty a church out in 30 seconds with a word from God. And then go home and beat their husband to death. Say amen, somebody. Come on now. That's why you got to hear from God. And so now we're off. Everybody's got their own little guru type person. My guru told me this and that. And my guru, Maru Patu. Not the way it is. Everybody looking for a word. A lot of people come looking for a word from me. I say, read your Bible, pray and fast, and get right with God. Good day. Isn't that the way it is? We go to meetings and we're looking for a word through a person. And then we continue on looking for that word. When we go home, we're still depressed. And so we got to keep going back, just like in the world, to a shrink. No, if you're taught at all, you'll be taught by the Holy Spirit. No, I think it's very easy to write bitter things against ourselves when all the clouds of darkness are hanging over our souls. And so did this good man do. He refused to be comforted. You ever been like that where you refuse to be comforted? I have. Has anybody else been in that kind of a state where you just refuse? You don't want to hear it from nobody? I have actually cried louder with depressed people just to get their attention. Just to get their attention, you have to cry louder, cry over cry, instead of overkill. And now it seems like sleep becomes hard. And he says like this, thou holdest mine eyes awake. See, when you start to doubt God, you can't sleep. Some care not, and they can sleep like an old deaf cat. I have to say this, if you are saved, learn from this message if you're not sleeping. Learn how to give it to God. Maybe it'll take you all night, but you'll sleep the next night. Peace will come. when you call upon the Lord, you aren't going to get any peace out there in the world. But also in this very circumstance, it may sometimes occur that the good man cannot tell his story to anybody else. God, who could I tell this to? Who would ever understand this dilemma? And you ministers out there and you people out there that have been in the Lord a long time know what I'm talking about. A lot of times, pride keeps you from sharing things. Who would ever understand this? And so he becomes overwhelmed. I minister to preachers. I'm a preacher's minister a lot of times. Sometimes you have to be bold and not fear your reputation so you can minister to those in higher places, shall we say? Maybe you have to be revealing. Maybe you have to tell it the way it really is, that there's a lot of people out there and a lot of times people in audiences will just judge what you say, preacher. They're just waiting for you to say the wrong thing. Hey, you know what they can do with me? They can go get my tapes. Start making tapes. And so, preacher, maybe you're sitting there with your eyes fixed. Maybe you had a large church, a large hyper-faith church, and they're all over now. They got millions of them all over the place. But there's more faith over in this one, a higher, higher revelation. All you need is a mustard seed full. A higher revelation over in this faith sanctuary. And you go there for a while. Wow! Ooh! But see, it's all self-centered. So it gets old after a while. And then there's another one. Rush over here. You want to know something, people that are running all over? Let me tell you something. If it doesn't contain the gospel message and some kind of suffering with it, you're going to be bored out of your minds. You got to get busy. And so you're sitting there probably with your eyes fixed, preacher. Your body is motionless except for the shakes that come. And you have a tongue that's lost its office. It's called violent grief. The very first tears you had and you cried out. Oh, you cried out and you felt good right after you got done for about 5 minutes. Now they come back and they drown you and you're overwhelmed. Listen to what he says. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I dare not tell it to anybody else. It's too great a grief to be unburdened, unleashed. An older man called me up and he says, I am a porno freak. I don't know what to do about it. I have all these books and they're all hidden under my mattress. I said, why don't you burn the books? But first, before you do that, take them out from under the mattress. Take them right out, tear them up page by page and put them in the dump. I says, don't try to burn these things as a book. They won't burn. I says, you want to know how I know that? Before I was saved, I had books. And they won't burn. Let me tell you how to do it. Just tear all the pages out and start them up. Crumple them up so they can get air in between the wrinkles. Or they won't burn. And someone will come looking through your dump and see these books, Well, he was into heavy porno, but I mean, back then they had what'd they have? Playboy or something like that, see? Okay, he says, now you take them and you crumple them all up. I said, take each page out, crumple it up really nicely, get a fire going, and throw these little balls of misery down into the flames. No burn. Well, I'm really glad you shared that with me. I really felt like I was useless. And I know the Lord, too, he said. I know the Lord. I've been saved, and I just couldn't get rid of this habit of having these books. I couldn't get rid of them. Another personal call. What do I do about this problem? I have a friend. This is how they say it. I have a friend that's a homosexual. And I just want to know how to minister to him. Could you give me line upon line what to do? And so I go right through the whole thing, knowing very full well that the man is having problems. Go through the whole thing, talking to his friend. And then we get into praying, and I say, God, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. How do you forgive others? If you forgive others all the way, young man, then God will forgive you all the way. What do you mean? Well, I mean that you're having a problem. And if you have a forgiving heart, the thing that God has given you is forgiveness. Freely, freely I have given you, freely, freely give away. Give away forgiveness and start with yourself. Start to say, yes, Jesus loved me, and keep singing that over until you believe it. Sing it over right in the middle of the act if you have to, but keep singing it until you believe it, until you just get changed. Oh, yeah, he could whisper it low at the midnight hour. Lord, have pity on me. But he can't come and tell others. It's too heavy a thing. He thinks no one else has been through such a thing. Have you ever been in that kind of a strait in your life where no one else has been through a thing like this? Oh, nobody. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. Have you ever been in that kind of a situation? I have. Have you? Who can I share this with? This is so weird. Well, there's nothing that is uncommon. Nothing. But anyway, he goes on and he thinks, God thinks, if my brothers find out I'm all through, you might be all through with them, but you're not all through with God. Or maybe you confided in some legalist, and the legalist said, repent, you filthy dog. And so you sink back into deeper despair. Maybe I should just give up. Maybe I should move out of here. Maybe, hey, I'll just give up. I'll go sell hot dogs out there in California on a beach. I thought of doing that one time. I'm still by nature a Greek, so my way out would go back to cooking or something like that. See? Not that I ever was a cook, but I was with my dad when I was a young man. How many are hearing this? And when it gets dark and everything is going wrong and you're in a hard place of ministry, preacher, and oh, God, who cares? Does anybody care? There's no money. Oh, he's struggling. Oh, he's fighting. Oh, he's looking for a way to pay the gas bill. Oh, God. And maybe someone will come up and say, do you call yourself a Christian? And you get upset with somebody, and then somebody will say that. Do you call yourself a Christian? You know how I answer? I say, yes, right now I'm a mad Christian. You better leave. Do Christians get mad? You better believe it. Sometimes they hold it in, then they get home, they, yeah! You had a guy in the mission. This is a different ministry down here. To be sure. Different country, different, everything is different down here. I said something and this man had irritated me to tears pretty near, you know what I mean? But they were mad tears. They weren't the wrong kind of tears. You ever have mad tears? He says, man, why don't you speak up? Get out! Is that loud enough? I got everybody's attention. Emptied the whole place out. No, I'm not talking about the congregation. I'm talking about working the mission. See, this is just a fringe benefit up here. I'm talking about 7 days a week, 24 hours a day working a mission. And so here we have, and I believe those that are troubled in the spirit and cast down, they are often as the lamb despised by those who are at ease. You're cast down and you're low. Everything is going wrong and you made a couple of boo-boos, you know. And you're sitting there going, I really made a boo-boo. Whoa, I boo-booed, I boo-booed, oh, boo-boo. Oh, why did I do it? Everybody knows. Oh, I boo-booed, I boo-booed. I did. Yeah. Huh? Seems at that time then, that you are the lamb that is despised. Have you ever been the lamb that is despised? By the rubbed inners? Why, whatever is wrong, just trust God. Doesn't seem like everybody, you're having a trouble, you know, let's say you're having a problem with one of your children, and they're down in the nursery, and they're down there, and they're just, mama, mama, oh my mama, mama. Kids coming on with all these phony cries and everything, you know what I mean. They know how to manipulate too, don't they? Young. Huh? Isn't that an art, manipulation? And so then these other dear mothers come down, click, clack, come walking in. Oh, and their kid's been real good. Oh, honey, has he been a good boy? And of course, you know they're going to say, yeah. Oh, he's been a delicious little fellow. And this kid's over there with his eyes all red and yelling and sweating, you know what I mean? Color crayons all over his teeth. Mm-hmm. Huh? Don't we like to rub it in when, huh? We do. Well, look, everything's going fine with me. Whatever is wrong. Come, Charles. Whenever my mother come to school, I'd be sitting out in the hall. I'm not kidding you, with red hands from the ruler. They used to have rulers. And they, are you going to do that again? Boy, that was smart. Then I went to boys' school and they used these rubber hoses on you. This is before they had laws, you know what I mean? And they had the figure eight there where you'd walk around and you'd try to run away from this. This is in South Dakota and they'd try to walk, you'd run away and then you'd come back with these big cauliflower ears and you had to walk for 8 hours around it, two poles like a figure eight, see? And then everybody else was so happy walking around. Oh, Warden so-and-so. Could you help me a minute, please? You know what I mean? Everybody was on top of it then. Wasn't that awful what he did? Huh? Don't we like to rub it in sometimes? And just rub it in there by being, oh, everything is fine in my life. You're having trouble? Huh? Oh, darling, dear. we love each other so? Yes. Isn't that the way we are? Whatever is wrong? Well, we're going to pray about this for you. Huh? Oh, it doesn't take a great amount of discernment to know that, does it? He may be the best man in the whole of the company. And yet, if he were to tell someone of his experience, they would think him to be the very worst. I knew it. I knew that sister had so much peace. I knew there was something wrong. I knew it. He may be even the best man in the whole of the church. And yet, if he were to share what he was grieving over, sound like the tisk, tisk would sound like so many grandfather clocks. Tisk, 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 huh? In the whole of that church. Because we can't be honest with one another. See, he's got a grief inside. And preacher, probably you got a grief inside. Or someone sitting here has a grief inside they can't tell anybody about. Now comes one other point. And this perhaps is the very worst. The very worst phase, I should say, of depression through which then this man of God must go. Namely, that he should receive comfort through some things. Through the Word of God, he should receive comfort. Through friends coming, he should receive comfort. And it brings a greater grief to him. He says, I remembered God and I was troubled. Sometimes when you remember God, then you're really troubled. And so where God was your comforter, now you can't even get comfort anymore. Because you remember God. Oh, I remember God. Oh, now I really am miserable. It's like meat and milk sometimes that ought to nourish us. But when we're sick, we can't receive it. You want something to eat? Ugh. Won't mention it. What's wrong? You're not eating your din-din. I'm not hungry. Well, try some of the soup. No. Eat a little bit of that bread there. That's really good. That's home-baked. No. It should bring us nourishment, and it should bring us comfort, and usually does, but no, we don't want no part of it. And it's the same way sometimes with the Word of God. It's a really terrible part about it that sometimes when we're supposed to be nourished, we can't receive it. It makes us sicker. Sometimes there's a time when you don't give people scripture all the time. Sometimes they're off their feed. How many are hearing this? Whew. I remembered God and I was troubled. In other words, he who was the well, spring of delight, of faith, became then an object of dread to my distracted heart. The justice, the holiness, the power, the truth, all have a dark side. And when you're down like that and you can't receive the Word of God, you always receive it in the wrong way. You always look on the dark side of it. Someone can give you a beautiful scripture to set you totally free, and you look on the dark side of it and say, yeah, but. See what it really says? And then they go, well, I never thought of it that way. Maybe you're right. Maybe you should shoot yourself in the head. Even the thought of nourishment turns you off. Let's go get something to eat. No. Let's go to church. And so we get then soul sick. And we think of our bread of life. And when we are soul sick, we sort of gag on the Word of God. We We need love and concern, sort of a spiritual chicken soup sometimes. Maybe that rooster minister or persons, that rooster that is crowing, maybe later on it will become chicken soup, but not right now. But listen, when we get well, doesn't food taste a whole lot better? When you go through and now you're really hungry for the Word of God. Maybe you're off your feet on account of something you did or something that happened. Oh, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Between you and God anyway. And you're out there and you're having a hard time. You're going to appreciate spiritual food when you really get it. I'm talking about the meat of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're out there and you're just sick of the whole shim-sham that's going on. The carnival of Christianity that's going on. The politics and the explosions and the hyper-faith and the claimants and the Doc Shackles and the Amaways and all of these things that have entered into the church and left the gospel for another gospel. Doesn't it taste much better when you get back on your feet, when you forgive yourself and you say, you know something, I'm hungering. Don't you appreciate God's word all the more? Don't you love God all the more? At least for a while, until you get back on with your starvation diet again. Aren't you more sympathetic with other people when you come out of that yourself, when you've gone through something? Aren't you more sympathetic with them? Can't you understand? Can't you relate to them in a better way? Say, oh my God, I know a preacher. I know exactly what you're going through. I know, ma'am, I know pretty much what you're going through. I mean, I can relate to that. Now that you've gone through it, couldn't you relate with me? I don't know your name, young lady right here with a red scarf on, dark coat. Couldn't you relate with that job situation? When everything went wrong at work? Didn't you relate with that? Well, if you could relate with that, then you can minister to somebody else. How many in here can relate with deep depression? Well, it seems like you can't tell anybody what you're going through. Well, then there's people for you to minister to. They're all over, see? If we can stop running around and going over to Israel and going into the empty tomb over there, flying all over to all these seminars, maybe we'll find there's a lot of things to do. And the best way to get your mind off yourself is to die to yourself and live for someone else. Well, you know what they do in the world. Oh, what is the state of mind, I should ask, when he gets into this depression, this child of God? What does a man of the world do? Never again! Sounds like some Christians. I'll be ready next time. I'll hit first, low and hard. And he becomes bitter. I'm talking about a worldly person. Maybe Christians can relate to this. I'm sure they can. He becomes bitter. He becomes resentful. He becomes defensive. He becomes argumentative. That happens with a lot of children. When over and over and over and over again they're put down and teased and so on like that, and they go through all kinds of things, and maybe their folks are not that understanding. Maybe the mom is a nag. How many times have I told you? I've told you repeatedly and time without number. Now I have to hit you on the head again with the frying pan. Bong, 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 bong. So he ends up bitter and resentful and defensive and argumentative and just totally miserable. And they're sitting in classrooms all over. And their little bodies are all, they need ministry. They need ministry so bad. Walking around, poor little souls walking around in there, and they have all kinds of depression. And they're just so young yet. And you know, by the time they're 5 and 6 and 7, some even younger, they start to form these habits and they start to form these thoughts there, see? What happens is the basics are there. There's enough basics when you're born. Fears and doubts and all that. And then you have somebody come along, some total nut. See, there's ministry that we can do all over the place. And there's all kinds of kids down here that need ministry. Do you know that? And I am so tired of putting in for funds from people that they're going to give you nothing. I got another deal from the other day from someone says, please send in some information about your ministry and blah, 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 and so on like that, you know. And you know, the world isn't going to help the church. And the sad part is the church body doesn't help the church either. Well, what do? Do you get bitter and resentful? No. No, you cry out to God. I've been crying out to God for the 7 years I've been down here, and I have more food. Now, that's what we're all about. I have more food down here than any ministry in the United States. I'm talking about tons and tons and tons of food. I have to be on 4 radio stations 3 and 4 times a week to give it all away. What are you crying out to God for? No, I think any man will be a Christian or profess to be one when all is silver slippers, joyful walks through the rose gardens, rosy paths to heaven, skipping along through the tulips. There's a song like that, isn't there? And all is well, and there, oh, it's just so much skipping. Hold my hand, brother or sister. Oh, we skip our way to heaven. Huh? You know what? It'd be awful boring skipping through a rose garden all the way to heaven with no trials, no mud puddles, nothing to get in your way. No, it's like this. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. If he take away my comfort, if I have no joy, but to him will I cling. Now Asaph did not go off as many men would and get into worldly pleasures to make up his loss. Okay, I'm just going to go out and raise hell. I'm going to just do this and do that. Yeah? I'll just go down to Vegas. I'll get back into drinking. No, he was like a spanked child. You ever seen a spanked child? Where do they always go, a spanked child? They go right back to their mom. They cling right to the very person, the parent that spanked them. And so this person clings to God all the more when he's chastised. First thing he did was pray. I cried unto God with my voice. He didn't just say it in his mind. He cried unto God with his voice. He didn't run to a man, but he ran to God. Not with a studied, not with a stilted, not with a prophetic words, but with a cry. The natural, the unaffected, unfeigned expression of pain. Wah! Nothing super spiritual about it. He just cried out to God, come as a child, with his voice. And why? He had to break the silence. When your kids want you, when they get hurt, are you listening to this? I just got a few more minutes to go here. When your child gets hurt and he's out there in the yard, does he think, Mommy, Daddy? No, he comes to scream, Mama! Huh? I can never do that with my mom. What are you bawling about now? I never bawled. But I knew how to get her dander up. I'd walk in and I'd have a bruise on my face. I was always fighting. bruise on my face. My nose would be swollen over here in the side around my eye. She says, what happened to you? I said, oh, nothing. Oh, no, something happened to you. I want to hear about it. No, it's still nothing, Mom. Nothing. And he'd get after you again, and boy, that big old gal would open up the screen door, and out she was. Them kids were scattered, and I'd be in there. Now you got to break the silence with a voice. Father, they're picking on me. Next, he took himself into meditation. Verse 5, I remember God. And so we must meditate in closing here. We must remember all the former battles God has taken us through and all the past kindnesses. In verse 5 it says, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. See, if no good was in the present, your memory sort of ransacks the past to find a consolation. Sometimes then we must borrow a light from the altars of yesterday so that we can light up the gloom of today. See, I believe this, and I believe it with all of my heart from experience. I think it's our very duty to search for comfort. And not in a sullen indolence yield to despair. Would you stand out in the cold if you had a nice warm house to go into and you're standing out there 30 below zero? Wouldn't you seek comfort? Would you walk to work in the rain when you have the car keys in your hand for a brand new car? And you could just get out of there and ride in comfort? And so sometimes in a quiet contemplation, topics may occur to us, which will then prove to be consoling, consolatory. Past victories. You say, well, that happened. And yet, sometimes it causes people to fall into more despair. Yeah, that happened. Why not now? Why not now? Why not now? Come on, come on, come on. Like yesterday. No, don't do that. And so from verses, and I'll just quickly do this, from verses 6 to 9, he gets into a sort of a two-way conversation with self. Listen to it. Verse 6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my heart, my own heart, and my spirit made a diligent search. And so now he is singing a sad song. We sing a sad song, huh? Verse 7, he starts to ask these questions. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? And he starts to build it up. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And he pauses now in the battle of questions, and he starts to have a little bit of a lull there because he's going to start to gather some steam now. Woo! Listen, verse 10. And I said, this is my infirmity.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 226. That was part 2, Cry Out for Deliverance. And just a note, at the end of the message, Pastor Paul did run off the tape. So that was an abrupt ending. That was one of the advantages of actually being in church listening to Pastor Paul. Only we know how it ended. It was always good. Have a great Christmas, Hanukkah. We'll see you back here every Friday for part 1, every Sunday for part 2 of Pastor Paul's podcast. If you missed part 1, Go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes, and within those show notes are scripture links. Be sure to check those out. Next Friday's message is why.
Oh, when the Lord